Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in the firmament of His power, praise Him for His mighty acts, praise Him according to His excellent greatness, praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let us pray. Our Father, for the beauty of the day, for the goodness and mercies shown to us in Thy creation, for the light and life which our Lord Jesus Christ gives to each one of us, we are thankful. In worship, we come to offer our minds, our hearts, and our hands, claim the intensity of our devotion and the commitment of our loyalties and even the energies of our work. Forgive us for disobedience and irresponsibility. Restore us in discipleship with Thee and with fellowship with one another, while we make our prayer in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This morning, I am very happy to welcome to our campus and to our community Dr. William Marshall, who is at present Secretary for the Department of Furlough Ministries of the Foreign Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. Bill is a native of Kentucky. He has done undergraduate and graduate work at Georgetown University and at Southern Seminary. Bill has been a pastor in Virginia. He has been a school teacher in Israel. He has been for several years the Foreign Mission Board's field representative, representing that board and the missionaries from Bangladesh to Morocco. It was in those days that I knew Bill, as he came to old Persia, Iran, to help us in challenges and problems which we faced in that mission territory. Bill has worn many hats. He has worn many shoes. He has ministered well around the world. Just recently, before he came to the Foreign Mission Board, he served as a pastor in an English-speaking church in Munich, West Germany. So, Bill, we welcome you here this morning to speak to us, and after the anthem is sung, we will hear you gladly.
I'm not at all sure when I first began to notice the breezes of evangelicalism spreading. As a student, I wasn't interested in foreign missions. I was basically committed to a ministry in the States, Kentucky primarily. An occasion in chapel at Southern Seminary, I suppose you would say, blew my mind as to the geography and relationship to responsibility. I began thinking a bit more broadly, began to notice winds of interest in lands overseas. Without going into the past history of my own life, in God's way, I had the opportunity of serving the personnel department for about 6 years in Richmond, and then overseas as a missionary field representative for the Middle East living on Cyprus. And then from there, from a perspective from overseas, I began to notice things happening. I had some hunches. As a personnel man traveling to the seminary campuses, I was aware that there was a suave sophistication there that did not lend itself basically to evangelicalism. There was a concentration and an interest on training for ministry here in the States. Even on mission days, very few people proportionately attended chapels. I was aware that there was a diminishing interest in missions from the days that I can remember, even as a student in college, when men like Kearney Keegan, men of his type, traveled the campuses of the colleges and the seminaries and generated to some degree an interest in overseas missions. From that point on in the 50s, looking back and being a part of it, I noticed a decline. Coming back to what I said, then I began to notice some changes. I'm not certain where they began. Obviously, they were generated early. Before we see the signs, there is growing beneath, so it's impossible to pinpoint what was happening. But I began to see it on Cyprus as young people coming out from America began, with or without the church, to take their experience with Christ to share it in other lands. This had not been done before on such a scale. Looking at church history, you'll discover this. A rather recent phenomenon is this youth movement that moves around the world. Something happening, something in the breeze. People like the YWAMers, Youth with a Mission, or Youth with Christ. All kinds of people. Some of them you might classify as deviant groups from the traditional faith which we hold, but nevertheless excited about their faith, their new experience in Christ. I began to notice this was different. This didn't happen before. Something was happening back here in the States. I couldn't put my finger on it, but something was happening. Began to see things happen in the Middle East that colleagues of mine who lived there had said had not ever happened before. Began to see Christianity in a broader perspective than the Western concept that I held it. Began to understand there was an Eastern church of more than 30 million Christians who, for these roughly 1,300 years, have been self-contained and surrounded by Islam and unable or unwilling, however you would like to describe it, to evangelize or to share their faith, being ingrown behind walls, but existing nevertheless these 1,300 years, and suddenly beginning to see signs of evangelicalism within this church. Seeing things happen like, for example, publications in Beirut, which through many agencies is distributed throughout the Arab world, noticing that they were out frequently of evangelical materials. And do you know where they were going? They were going to Egypt, to the Coptic church. People from Egypt coming to Near East Theological Seminary, Near East School of Theology in Beirut, where I had the opportunity of studying a year, sitting down with Greek Orthodox priests, Roman priests, Armenians, men who, from our point of view, perhaps are not as excited about, quote, spreading the gospel, and yet finding the impulse that had been planted years ago by the Protestant church through the British, through the Presbyterians and others who had come to the Middle East, having set up their schools, these Coptics and these other Greek Orthodox, Maronite Christians, many of them coming and attending these schools that have been set up by evangelicals, and they're going back out of these secular institutions, going back to train in their own clerical schools, their own schools of theology, and suddenly seeing them come alive and see what's happening. And I began to be aware that something very significant was going on. Can't quite put your finger on it, but when you sit down beside a man in a class who is probably the best, most authoritative leader of the Greek Orthodox Church in the country of Lebanon, and hear this man talk about Christ and the gospel and the desire on the parts of people like himself to share it, you recognize, those of you who are familiar with church history, that this is something that has not happened in 1,300 years. Something is happening. And we're all a part of it. Something very significant. And then I became aware also of these vast hordes of your people that you're going to pastor or be a church leader to. These laymen who will not be contained if the church will not minister to these needs, if we'll not channel them. They'll find ways of sharing their faith. In fact, we have more problems at the Foreign Mission Board today trying to channel these energies of laymen who do not find an appropriate channel through our organization to express their concern for the world. I was just recently in Amarillo, 2 days ago, talking about a problem just like this in a seminar that we had set up there for this purpose. Laymen who want to become involved to an extent that we do not have it written in our history. Men who are caring about sharing their faith. And these men, on their own, many of them out of their own pockets, began traveling. And in my situation, because I'm more familiar there and I can't speak for the other parts of the world, but throughout the Middle East, these men began to come. They were naive, people thought. They didn't have the structures and they didn't have interpreters often, and they basically had to minister with people who could speak a little English. But the enthusiasm there, the desire to share their faith was there nevertheless. And I began, as I say, to put these things together, and it became something of an awareness experience for me to realize that something was going on in the States. that was not going on even 10 years before, as far as I was concerned, when I was walking up and down the seminary campuses. For me, it's an experience that has happened in about a 20-year period. We're living in a time when the spiritual winds, God is trying to say something about us, to us, about the needs of the world to know Christ. And it comes in different kinds of forms. I think it all came home to me when I was home on furlough in 1973. I was at Southern Seminary, which of course is a very fine school, as you know. I'm sure Southeastern is a very fine school. I'm being facetious because I know how it is among seminaries, and overseas you have Southeastern grads, New Orleans grads, and Southwestern grads, all a big hodgepodge working together, and somehow the seminary situation doesn't matter very much at all. But it was on this campus of Southern Seminary, again, that I had traveled to as a personnel secretary. My first few days back on furlough doing some work there, I was walking down the campus. And I'm generally a fairly friendly person, at least on the outside. And this fellow was walking down the walk. And this was my first experience with the campus after being away for so long. And I said, "Morning." He looked at me funny and a little bit and says, "Praise the Lord, brother." Now, if you have graduated from Southern, and if you have walked the campuses as I've walked the campuses there, and you suddenly hear this, you can understand if my mouth dropped a little bit and I was unable to respond. This was my first impression of something that had happened to that seminary. And as I stayed on that campus in 1973 through 74, I became aware of the students that had come into this campus. Something had happened. It was a different quality of student, a different kind of student. There was a different interest. There were students coming from many places who really had a fervor to share their faith in Christ. You talked to some of the professors, and I did. I had the privilege of talking particularly to a few of them who were closer friends, and they were saying they, in many cases, had to change the nature of what they were teaching to meet some of the needs that some of these students had in relationship to their exuberance in Christ. Now, you may think that's coming across sort of in a bleak way, but it's the truth. And I became aware, as seminary professors, perhaps here and other places have become aware, that there is a rising desire in the hearts of people in our churches to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. And it's not a sophisticated time in which we live, and the sophisticated 60s have passed. And I'm cognizant, and I believe very firmly, that there are people who want to share their faith with Christ. And they're in our seminary campuses. And I could show and take a few moments here out of context, I suppose, to talk about different signs, but I won't do that, because with all of this, you would think that there would be a commensurate expression of channeling of these energies, this new zest, this new desire to share overseas. And if you look at it from a superficial point of view, yeah, you can see records from the Foreign Mission Board talking about we had more missionaries appointed this year than last year and so on, and last year was another record year. But look closely at those statistics, because they can be deceptive. As a matter of fact, over the last 5 years, there has been a net decrease in the number of career preachers who have gone overseas to share their faith and their training in another culture. As a matter of fact, there has not been a year since 1963, that's 13 years ago, when we had 194 that year of young men and women throughout the states going overseas, almost all of whom were career at that time. We haven't even come close to that. This growth has been largely in short-term people and in journeymen. Now, I want to bring it home, because I'm very concerned about this, as I think you would expect somebody to be. When you begin to think about looking beneath the surface, looking at all of this enthusiasm, but looking underneath it and trying to discover what's happening, you get the idea that it's really exciting here. Laymen are going overseas. Young people are going overseas, perhaps not for a long period of time, but nevertheless being thrust out. But the preachers are staying home. I shared last night with a group at the church that among Southern Baptists, it takes approximately 4,800 Southern Baptists to send out one foreign missionary. And in relationship to that, for example, with the Seventh-day Adventists, on a proportionate basis, it takes 1,300 of them to send out a foreign missionary. When you look down underneath, we are generating a lot of energy and spending a lot of money, but it's to a great degree, if you're honest, it's staying home. Think about it for a moment in the context of North Carolina. There are roughly 2,000 preachers in the state of North Carolina, population 5.5 to 6 million. That would include some retired ministers. It would not include evangelical preachers, others of another faith, the Methodists, Pentecostals, whatever. There'd be 2,000 of these Southern Baptists serving, 2,000 of us serving in the state of North Carolina, 5.5 million people. There aren't half that many. There are fewer than 1,000 preacher missionaries serving overseas, not among 5.5 million people, but among 3.75 billion people. Now, you've heard these statistics before. Maybe you can tell me what's wrong. Let me tell you specifically about Southeastern Seminary, as I could tell you about each of the other six seminaries. I did a good bit of research. From 1956 until 1973, of the graduates of Southeastern Seminary who went out into ministry, graduates of the seminary, 1 out of 21 went overseas. That's since 1956, when the first ones went out from this school. Think about that for a moment. That represents roughly, not quite, 5% of this student body goes out overseas. Now think about that then, put it in reverse. It means that 95% of the graduating classes of Southeastern Baptist Seminary remain in the United States to minister to 5% of the world's population. Now you tell me that that's right. Now I can't honestly tell you, and I'm always a little fearful to share things like this in a seminary context, because I've been sitting where you're sitting, and I did not always feel strongly about foreign missions. And it could be misinterpreted, and you can hear somebody beating you over the head with a baseball bat with statistics. This is not what I'm saying. I'm basically sharing with you this morning a deep concern of mine. I really don't know why the preachers are not going overseas. I really don't know why 95% of the graduates of this institution, and really on a proportionate basis, all the rest of our seminaries, stay at home to minister to 5% of the world's population. But maybe this morning the best thing I can do is, rather than try to close out with some dramatic illustration, is to let it stand where it is. I really don't know. I see the enthusiasm in the layman. I feel the excitement that we can't even channel. There's so much energy in the heart of the layman in our local churches. And yet, when it comes to the preacher ministry, they just aren't there. Maybe you can answer that question. May we pray? Father, these and all of us are your servants. And you know best our qualities and the potential that lies within each of us. Whatever it is you say to us in moments like this, help us to be careful to hear what it is you'd like to say to us. And whatever it is you're saying, because we trust in thee that it's positive and that you seek to help us express these inner needs, that you will clearly illustrate to us on an individual basis what we should do about this obvious problem. Help us plug in, O God, to thy Holy Spirit. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.